looking ahead and helping the next generation to prepare for what's going to be happening. The whole idea and the whole reality of trauma is a huge issue. Trauma in families, but trauma also in war zones, trauma in different aspects. And so in view of that, and for other reasons as well, the college is starting a new program this fall called Christian Formation, 2 years or 4 years. Four-year degree is your on-ramp to an MA in counseling. And I think that more and more young Christians, this generation, those of you who are under 30 years old here this morning, you are much more in touch with your emotions than my generation was, or my dad's generation. You and the students that come, they get it. They get that there's a lot of pain and they feel a lot of pain. And a new generation of Christian counselors is needed to deal with this. Some professionally, some in therapists, and others just being soul friends to others in the local churches. And so that's something we're just starting out this fall. So Jesus is there with his dirty dozen, the 12 disciples. Remember, their feet were unwashed in that Last Supper. But they were ordinary tradesmen, fishermen, and all this massive crowd of people from different towns, different villages around. And he began teaching them. And at the center of this teaching is the Lord's Prayer. It's exactly in the center. So prayer is central to everything else that Jesus is saying. The reason that the early church valued this, and I think we need to value this and get close to this and meditate on this, read this, meditate, memorize, whatever works for you over the next years and months and years of our lives. There is gold in here to help each one of us in our time of need. Whatever need that you are wrestling with, whatever difficulty that you find yourself in, or your family is in, or your marriage is in, there is access. Jesus pulls out the stops. He can't say this any more clearly than he's saying it here in Matthew, especially Matthew 7, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. It's like he's opening the door to each one of us, and he's telling us, asking us, he is inviting us to come and to pray. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And then he repeats it. For to him who asks, it shall be given. To the one who seeks, he shall find. He shall find. And to the one who knocks, it shall be opened. And then he repeats it again in a different way, talking about if you look at Matthew 7, verse 9, what man is there among you when his son, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, an 8-year-old, asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, well, he's not going to give him a snake. If you then, being evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you? Give what is good to whom? To those who ask him. So this sermon is called the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 deals with this new life that we have with God that we've sung about, and thank you for the worship team. That was very, very you helped me, and I think helped a lot of us here, just to focus on Jesus. And you can't go wrong if you do that. This new life that we have with God, and then how to live it out together in our families, at our workplace, in our community. That's what this message of 5, 6, and 7 is all about. And so he personally talks about the very issues we face. In chapter 5, he goes through 6 areas, and I'll just give you the topics. 6 different things. This is 2,000 years ago, over in Palestine. He's talking about 6 things, and we're still talking about those things today. And we need to reference back to what he's saying. The issue of anger. The issue of lust. The issue of marital conflict. And then he talks about lying and getting even and enemies. Now, which one of those haven't you dealt with lately? Or a family that you know? Or your own family where you grew up? Or the community? He deals with those 6 areas in chapter 5. And then he comes to the Lord's Prayer and to this passage. There are things that mess up our relationships, that cause us pain, that discourage us, that leave us wounded, lonely, or lost. And he says, ask. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek. Come on, seek and you will find. It's no accident that this is passage is where it is. I'm going to speak, first of all, I'm going to say 2 things. That's all. First of all, I'm going to speak to all of us here who have stopped praying for whatever reason. We may still be saying our prayers out of habit, but we don't really pray from the heart anymore. Okay? It could be because we've lost heart. God isn't interested in my concerns. I used to pray, but nothing happened. You know, who am I? My life's a mess. Or I'm a loser, whatever it is. He's too busy for me. So we stop praying. Or God is against me. It just seems like he's just putting it to me. I never get any answers. Or I just can't trust God. Trusting God is too costly. I don't want to get disappointed again. Or why did he let this happen to me? Why did that accident happen? Why did this illness come and cripple me or my wife or my husband, whatever? Just can't trust God. You know, what is he up to? Why doesn't he come out and show his face? Here's the good news that we just sang about. God has shown us his face in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, if you need a reference. The glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus, the Jesus we've been singing about, and the one who's sitting there on the side of the hill talking to these people. Jesus has come. Where is God, somebody asks. Where is he? I wish he'd show his face. My answer to any person that says that would be, God has shown us his face in Jesus Christ. That is what God is like. That's what he's like. There is no alien God behind Jesus. The Father, the Son, perfectly reflects who the Father is. So if you have a hard time relating to God the Father, come to Jesus. He's a chip off the old block, the Ancient of Days. That's exactly the way God the Father is. He's like Jesus. There's no opposition between the two. God sent his Son to show us, to come close to us. Now, this invitation in chapter 7, verse 7, is the most clear, the most compact invitation to pray in the whole of the New Testament. You won't find anything more clear and compact than this, actually this one verse. Jesus is urging us, he's trying every possible way to draw us to pray. And Jesus is showing us, and he has shown us in his whole life, if you think back on the life of Jesus, it was a giving, giving, giving. Giving his time. Never too hurried to hear the voice of one person who was crying out to him. He always stopped and took the time. That's the way God is with us. He never has no time for you. He has all the time in the world for each one of us. You're never out of his mind. He's the one who calls us to draw near to him. So to those of you who have stopped praying sometime in the past, Jesus is calling those of us who have done that to break the silence. Break the silence. That's my first point. You've got to break it if you want to break through. One writer has said that Jesus is trying by every way he can to bring us by any means possible to the Father, hands out and mouths open. In other words, speak. Talk to God. I spend a lot of time thinking about God because I teach New Testament and some other courses. All my thinking about God does not bring me one bit closer to God. It's only when I talk to God. That's a totally different thing. So turn your thoughts into prayers. If you're doing harvest this year, or driving down the highway, and you're thinking about something, turn it into a prayer. It's actually quite simple. Lord, why don't I do that? Speak audibly. You wake up in the middle of the night. I've been doing this more lately. I don't know what has something to do with putting on a few extra decades. Waking up in the middle of the night and it's totally silent, and I've got the great idea, I think I'll talk to God for a while. I have to confess, I haven't done that very much in the middle of the night all my Christian life. It's so different. Just talk. Break the silence. Don't wait for some proper spiritual mood. There is no preferred spiritual mood to be in when you pray. You don't have to have it all together or feel a certain calmness or feel right about praying. Just pray. There is no prerequisite mood to be in. What is it that you need to talk to your Father about? Break the silence. God is already tuned into you. He's tuned into you better than you are tuned into yourself. He knows me better than I know myself. He's already able to receive whatever you have to tell him. Break the silence. It's been silent too long. Draw near. Hebrews 4, 16 and 17 says this, verse 17, for we do not have a high priest. You know, high priest, high and lifted up. We do not have a high priest who cannot feel what we feel. But one who has been tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. What is your need right now? This is an open invitation. Draw near that you may receive mercy. It's ready. It's all ready to come. And find grace to help in time of need. May I suggest some way of doing this that's very simple? Different people call this by different names. There's a short little one-line prayer. Let me just give you some examples from the Psalms. And I'll just give you the reference, but I'll give you the phrase. It's a phrase that you can repeat. If you find one of these phrases that matches where you are right now, you may want to just take it and then repeat it throughout the day as many times as you need to. For a day, a week, a month, a year. If you want, I can leave a list here if somebody needs a list. Here's one. The short prayer that you can pray to break the silence throughout the day. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51, verse 10. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Psalm 86, verse 11. Revive me according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 25. That's what that one was. Here's another one. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Know my anxious thoughts. Asking God to know them. He already knows them, but you're inviting him to know them. Psalm 139, verse 23. Here's another one. Psalm 25, verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. You could repeat that prayer as often as you need to. Memorize it. You've got words. The Psalms give us words to express what's going on in our life. And once we have the words, then things change. Psalm 25, verse 16. Here's the last one. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. Psalm 27, verse 11. So those short prayers can be a springboard to talk to your Savior about how it is for you. The second thing I want to say, and the last thing I want to say, is for all of us here who are not expressing what's bottled up inside, we are praying. We've broken the silence, but now he calls us to go deeper. So this is not about breaking the silence. This is about engaging your heart. Engage your heart. It's taken a long time, and I'm still in process on this journey. I grew up living from the neck up, because down here, where the microphone is, It was too messy. There's too much conflict in my family growing up, and I just didn't want to feel those feelings. So I live from the neck up. So work with what you're good at, right? So ideas, math, mathematics, physics, all of that stuff, equations, So then God got a hold of me when I was 19, and it was sideways. He didn't come to me through my brain. He came to me through my heart. And started me on a journey to learn how to talk to people. Actually, how to talk to people and become just become more aware of what all this, my whole emotional life, right? So, engage your heart. Seek and you will find. This is further than asking, it's seeking and knocking. Put the two together. Prayer is not for people who have it all together. Prayer is not for the well-adjusted and nice people. There are no well-adjusted, nice people in this room. Some of us may act nice, but we're way more than that. Nice is so bland, right? And none of us are well-adjusted, let's be honest. we're still making adjustments, right? We're always children in God's sight. We never graduate. We never master anything in the Christian life. We're all apprentices. We never graduate. And when we're standing before him at the end, as many whose bodies are lying in that cemetery, they're all focused on him. Free, finally free, totally free. But we're on the journey of freedom now. Don't wait till you die before you're free. Freedom can be for now, to a degree, right? So, the Psalms are our gift. They're given to us to learn how to pray. They're our teachers in prayer. So in the Psalms, every possible emotion you can experience is already in there. So I challenge some of you to begin reading through the Psalms and pray through the Psalms. I'm asking a group of 6 students, starting in September, out of Frontier Lodge west of Nordegg. That's one of their assignments. They're in a new course that's been developed. They'll be praying through the Psalms early in their life. Some of them are only 20 years old. They'll have to do it, but it's going to be a blessing to them. Every emotion. You can start with some safe ones. Pray your loneliness. You'll find prayers for the lonely. Lonely prayers in the Psalms. You can even pray your anger. In fact, that's one of the best things to pray. I remember early on, I suppose 10 years on in my Christian life, I was so frustrated with my inability to tune in and be sensitive as a husband, that I went to my office one night. All was dark, door was closed, and office was in another building. I was teaching over in Didsbury. And I just got angry with God about myself. And I prayed a prayer. And I prayed out my anger to God. And in that very moment, God was right here. He had been waiting for me to pray that. And as soon as I prayed that prayer, he was right there. And that made all the difference. I felt the presence of God because I was honest with my anger. God will do that when we pray whatever our emotion is. Loneliness, anger, frustration, grief. Pray out your grief. And it can be messy. This is not a special language we have to learn. So I'll close. The time has gone here. I'll close with something I remember from 40 years ago, and some of you would remember this as well. I don't know, remember all the details. Something happened to John McDonald. Now, he owned the farm next door here. Where is it? there. He and his wife, and something happened to him in a field about 40 years ago that was life-changing for him. He was already an elderly man, very faithful. It was harvest time. It might have been August. In the field that he was working in, I think probably Ron was there too, his son, there was a piece of equipment that got hot enough to ignite the straw underneath and all around the whole field that was yet to be combined. The flame shot up and engulfed the tractor or whatever it was. And John could envision at that moment the whole field and perhaps even more just going up in flames. From his heart to God, as he told me, went up one prayer. I don't remember the words of the prayer, but it was that the fire would just stop. And he said to me that that was exactly what happened. The equipment was toast. Whatever that piece of equipment was, it was totally burned up, but nothing else around it caught fire. There was not a breath of wind at all. So God put a new fire in John's heart. When he told me this story, and he told me God heard my prayer. Something more was going on there. There was a new church plant in Brooks that the association was starting, and they needed pulpit supply one Sunday. They phoned me up. So I had this idea, I'm going to send 6 people down to Brooks. For some reason, I couldn't go. But so the Leishners and the Hex, Frank and Merla, and and John, I'm not sure if his wife went or not, Frank went to play the piano. You know, Frank and Barry used to play duets together. I said to John, I want you to go and tell your story. And I said to each person, I said to Frank, I want you to go as well and say something, and I wanted Ray Leishner to go and say something. So John shared his story and Frank played the piano. But Frank had a turnaround moment in his own life. After he heard John, he just was amazed. And his heart caught that fire, in a sense, that desire to just seek after God and to serve him. He headed up the building committee that built this building and did a lot of other things. Was the moderator of the church. It might have been Len. Len was in charge of the building, but Frank was the one who led the whole church during those years that we built this building. But more than that, after all of that, John, he started visiting people in their homes. He would ring the doorbell or knock on the door. I remember when he did this for us. Rang the doorbell over here at the parsonage. And there's John. And he said, I want to come in and pray for you. And he came in, says, yeah, we were sure. Okay, come on in. And he just said, let's hold hands. And he prayed a prayer for us. He'd never done this before. And he was going around, he said, I'm just going around to all the houses and praying for people. Simple, heartfelt prayer. That's what happened for him. And it all began with that heartfelt prayer. I mean, in a time of crisis. You may be in a crisis now or you may not be. Why wait? Break the silence. Engage your heart. going to pray, and the worship team can get situated there. I'm just going to pray a brief prayer, and as we sing this last song, that may be the prayer that you're going to that you want to pray. But I want this last song, as it's being sung, to be your way, your invitation, to either break the silence or to engage your heart in that area that you have not just opened up to God. It will change your path. Ask and it shall be given to you, says Jesus. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. So let's sing this together.
Choose to be holy.